Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. And with me today, I have Michael and Lynn Wilder, the parents of the guys in the band, in Adams Road Band. Lynn has come out with a new book titled Unveiling Grace, The True Story of How We Found Our Way Out of the Mormon Church. It is published by Zondervan, is available in Christian bookstores and even some secular bookstores. But I've been going through this book. It's an incredible read. Lynn, you write very well. And it's been encouraging to see the journey that has been yours and Mike's journey.
I take none of the credit for the writing. This was an amazing journey with the Spirit to get this. I've never written anything like this before. All of my stuff is boring and scholarly, like you said yours was.
Uh-huh. That's right. If you want to read a fascinating story about Mormonism, and as we were talking about, unlike something like an Answering Mormon's Questions or a Mormonism 101, where we deal a lot with theology and things like that, this doesn't deal so much with that, but it is your personal story. And I think it needs to be emphasized. Your coming out of Mormonism was not the result of being offended by some insensitive member, because I get asked that a lot. They think I was a member, and they'll say, "Does someone in the church hurt you?" I don't know. Every experience I had with Mormons were pretty positive. I was never a member, though. And that's not the case with you. You were really into the church. You loved the church. You were involved in some very serious callings as a Relief Society president. Michael, you had your callings in the church. You had two sons so far that have gone on foreign missions. You have Josh, who goes to Russia, and Matt, who goes to Denmark. Micah was supposed to go to Mexico City, and as we left off, he ends up having a collapsed lung, and this collapsed lung really, what looks like a tragedy, is going to ultimately be the incredible part of your story, because Mike is going to end up going to Orlando, Florida. He first of all, and Pastor Shaw is the first one they come encountered with.
Mm-hmm.
And Pastor Shaw is a, as you say, is a very, very big black pastor, and he comes out and he mentioned to me about how he gives Micah this big bear hug and prays.
Yes.
What did he say?
Micah said he was praying out loud, really, really loud. And he said he asked God to break the spirit of blindness over this young man.
Amazing. Now, he's writing emails to you, and because the missionaries can write one email a day at this time. And
one a week.
You're right. They're allowed to write one a week. And you mention on page 150, we sense that something profound happened to Micah early on his mission, because his emails were filled more and more with a faith language we did not understand. Explain that.
Micah started talking about the cross, and he started talking about him taking up his cross. Mm-hmm. And he started, I remember one email said something about Christ's blood has been spilt. That was not anything I was familiar with in Mormonism. It didn't make any sense to me. We didn't talk about the cross, and we don't talk about the blood in Mormonism.
And so he's talking more in these terms that just seemed odd to you.
Right. Mike said he sounds like the Apostle Paul.
Yeah. And this is a progression from the time he met, you know, the first pastor, and then he met the second pastor. And the second pastor, the Baptist pastor, Calvary Baptist Church or something, you know, he really started teaching Micah the word. I mean, you know, he listened to Micah talk about Mormonism and then for 60 minutes, and then he came back and said, but this is what the word really says. I think he received that challenge, so he had that blessing of the first pastor, and then he received this challenge about reading the Bible. And Micah, being a young, stubborn Mormon, said that, you know, well, I'm going to really study the Bible to learn the Bible if I'm going to continue to bash heads with, you know, these Baptist preachers out here. And God was doing his work, because once you get into the Bible and you really start reading it, he starts changing you. And again, it wasn't an overnight thing. It was a long period of process of going through this conversion.
It took most of his mission
before
God completely opened his eyes to the fact that Mormonism was false.
Right.
And that the God of the Bible was a different God.
So here he's a still very strong Mormon. He's teaching Mormon concepts and everything. But beneath that, in his own writings to us, as he's communicating back to it, he's beginning to speak in Christianese. And I don't think he even realized it. And, you know, we started seeing the difference there. But this is really amazing, though. You know, in the Mormon plaques that you give every Mormon missionary when they go out, you know, they put them in the ward buildings and they hang them up there, and then they get them when they return from their mission. You know, I was in the Bishopric and High Council, and you'd see these all over different. And it's always about, you know, something from the Book of Mormon, something from Doctrine and Covenants. Every once in a while, you'd see one from a Bible verse. And Micah picked Galatians 2:20. He says, this is before we even got into all this. He's the most zealous Mormon kid you've ever seen. And Galatians 2:20, it states, you know, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And, you know, I saw that and I said, I don't even get that. But, you know, he picked it, so it's okay. And, you know, now I love that. It's one of my favorite verses in the Bible. But and later on, I asked Micah, I says, why did you pick that verse? He says, I really don't know. See, it's like God is doing his work in through you, and he's preparing you. And he was preparing Micah from the very beginning to draw him. He was preparing us, draw us out. It's just amazing. And as you go through the book, you'll see this. And again, the book is the good, the bad, and the ugly. And you get everything. It's not just this happy Mormon family. We have problems that come up.
Sure. Well, you actually mentioned on page 150, Monday, June 26, 2004, Micah wrote us in his email, quote, Tuesday we went back and talked to that Baptist minister. He was nice, but he basically condemned us to hell and said we were a cult. And then you come in and you say, well, how unchristlike. We weren't a cult. Couldn't Christians get that through their heads? Interesting that the pastor was just so blunt with Mike. I don't know if I would have been quite that blunt.
Could have been Micah's interpretation.
Well, probably. And you could be very right on that, because we oftentimes are accused of saying that Mormons are going to hell. I don't think we say that ever on our website. We never say it like that. And but, you know, Mormons do, like most people, interpret things and hear things the way they want to hear them sometimes. So, but anyway, he says on September 27, 2004, and we're going from this email exchange that's going on, I know why I came here. I can't really tell you right now, but things are happening with me I can't explain. A great thing is coming forth. I am changed forever. Mm. And you express a little bit of concern. You say he's 19, changed forever. He'll have to pray to get us to love and support him in these changes. What had he done? Robbed a bank? I guess as a Mormon parent, you probably would wonder, what is he saying? Because this isn't really the typical language you would probably hear from a Mormon, much less a young Mormon, and your own son.
And you had to understand, at this time, he was a zone leader. I mean, it's amazing. He was out just a few weeks, and he was made a district leader. And I think, it was in August or so, he was made a zone leader. I don't know exact timelines. And he held that position all the way almost to the very end until...
So he was a senior zone leader or district zone leader in the mission.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. So, you know, you have this working with him. You know, Christ is doing this work in him. And he's having success because he's teaching the love of God. He's teaching people about Jesus. Naturally, you're going to join the Mormon church because it sounds so good.
Yeah.
And so.
Which is the same thing I did at BYU after I started reading the Bible. And BYU students would come to me with their issues and I would pray with them. I drew them to this biblical Jesus. same thing Micah was doing, except he was drawing them to the Mormon church, and same thing I was doing at BYU when they had positive experiences with the biblical Jesus. I represented Mormonism to them, so it just drew them closer to the Mormon church.
Now, we just have a couple minutes left, and Micah had a girlfriend,
Alicia,
who is now his wife.
Yes.
Okay. And she started sending you little notes, so I'm sure Micah is talking with Alicia about some of these things, and you're noticing she's writing you these little notes.
Well, the first, you know, Mormon missionaries are only allowed to call home on Mother's Day and Christmas. The first Christmas when Micah called home, Alicia came over to our house and talked to him as well on the phone. So we realized they probably were connecting. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know then, but Micah apparently challenged her to read the New Testament when he talked to her at Christmas.
Which was basically the challenge that he received from that Baptist minister.
Exactly.
And when he reads it, he realizes there's something a little different here.
Yeah.
This is not the gospel of Mormonism.
Yeah.
I had just not long ago that same type of experience with a returned missionary. And surprisingly, his mission president told him to read the New Testament. And he did. And when he read it, he realized, this isn't my Jesus.
Yes.
And that's what started opening his eyes. So I guess we could actually give credit to a mission president for bringing one of the Mormon people out.
That's why, you know, we were in the church for close to 30 years. And never did I ever hear a call from the top people. Sit down, family home evening, or sit down and read the New Testament as a family. It was always the Book of Mormon, always the Book of Mormon, and never a call that I've seen. I don't know if they've done that in the last few years, but when we were the LDS Church, they want you to just cherry pick the verses.
We taught seminary for a time, and of course we taught the Bible, but we never taught anything in context. The Mormon manual cherry picked verses that supported Mormonism, and we ignored the other ones.
So Mike is going through this transition, and he's coming towards the end of his mission, and then he's going to give some sort of a talk to the fellow missionaries. We're going to talk about that tomorrow.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. Viewpoint on Mormonism is a radio show dedicated to discussing the differences between Mormonism and Christianity in a loving, gentle format. Sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry, this show's goal is to look carefully at the Bible and determine whether or not the beliefs, as taught by the leaders of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, corresponds to truth. Now, whether you're a Latter-day Saint or a Christian, you can contact us and even ask a question that we could answer in a future show. Here's how. Email us at contact@mrm.org. Again, that's contact@mrm.org. And if you're a Christian who would like to financially support this radio ministry, you can do that as well. Just go to our website, www.mrm.org, and go to the right top button called Donate. This ministry cannot exist without the financial support of our friends and listeners, and we are grateful to everyone who plays a vital role in what we do. Again, that's mrm.org. We're glad to be on the air and providing this information to you.